Well, I've got something special to show you tonight. I've actually got my year 11 school photo. I actually wanted to bring my year 7 one, but I couldn't find it because I've got an afro in my year 7 photo. But here's my year 11 school photo. This should also pop up on the screen as well. And here's my year 12 school photo. Okay. Can you see me? Can you see me? Let's year 11 is the top two. Can you find me? Okay, right photo or left photo? Right photo, okay, yes. It's on the top row, yes. Wait, let me just check. Top row. Far from the right. No. Far from the left. Yeah, far from the left is correct. There's a little circle that'll pop up. Okay. Right. That's me. Okay. That's me in year 11. Who can work out me in year 12? I'm not on that photo. I'm on the other photo. I'm on the top row again. Yes. Four, where from? Four from that side. Four from the... It is... It is four from this side. Little circle. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Okay, now, can you see that clearly?
No.
Okay, how about PowerPoint? We get a bit of a close-up of me in year 11. Okay, now. Year 11. Thank you. Year 11, I've got some problems there. My hair just looks a bit fluffy. Okay, the front looks a bit weird and fringy. I don't know about you, but I used to spend ages the morning of school photos trying to get the hair right, and it always looked worse than it normally looked. Now, even though my hair looks pretty bad, at least my tie is a bit straighter than the guy over on this side. He doesn't even have his button done up. Far out. Where's his dignity? Now, can I have a year 12 photo pop up, thanks? Okay. I hate this photo. There's so many things wrong with this photo. I've got my neck sort of about like that, so my Adam's apple is sticking out. My hair looks black. It looks a bit wet. Maybe the gel I put in that morning is still moist. I think it might have been. Like, it's just awful. But at least, of all the bad things about that photo, I've got my school captain's badge on, and you can see that there. If you look closely enough, it's dangling there. Okay. Can you see? I'll point to it. See that? Oh, look at that. We've got a mouse thing. That's technology. There you go. Okay, now, let me ask you a question. When your school photos arrive back from the printer, what's the first thing that you look for? Well, if you're anything like me, what do you look for first? It's yourself. It's yourself. The second you get the photo, you check to see how you look. Was it a good hair day? Was it a bad hair day? Or was it an ugly hair day? Now, on the Monday after FAP, when there'll be some photos on the youth group website, which ones are you going to look at first?
Me.
You're going to scan through and think, am I in that one? Am I in that one? Am I in that one? Oh, look at my hair. Oh, but at least I don't look as bad at, we won't say any names there. Now, it's all about you, isn't it? That's what photos are all about. That's why they take them at school, so that you can have a photograph of you. That's what the school photo is about. That's why we take photos on FAT, so that you can admire them. You can put them up on your wall and go, that's me. What a beautiful looking man or woman, whatever you might be, or little boy or little girl. Now, we live in a world that constantly communicates that life is all about me. It's all about me. That's what life's about. whether it be the songs that we hear, the TV commercials that we see, billboards that we see. Now, Channel 7, I'm not sure if you get Prime. Who gets Prime?
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do it like this, but they used to advertise themselves as Prime, P-R-I, and they'd emphasise the M-E. Because Prime is all about you. We play what you want to watch. If you watch Prime, fantastic. It's all about you. Now, I used to own a department store called Meijer. No, I didn't. But how do they advertise Meijer? Meister Meijer. Now there's some hair product, I don't even know what one it is, that it's like something like, because you're worth it.
L'Oreal.
There you go, L'Oreal, well done. There's songs, it's like, just listen to your heart, it will guide you, it will be right, it's all about you. One of my old soccer coaches, as well as imparting soccer wisdom, he used to regularly remind me to look out for numero uno. Now, he wasn't Italian. I did have Italian soccer coaches, but he wasn't. He just liked to speak like that. Both, and he was encouraging me to do that. Look out for numero uno. That's number one in Italian. He was encouraging me to do that, not just in soccer and choices I made in soccer, but in life. Always look out for yourself. You come first. Make sure your decisions reflect that. Now, There's a Christian musician in Sydney, and his name's Nathan Tasker. Some of you may have heard of him. He's got some fantastic songs. Some are not so good, but there's some really, really good ones that help to reflect on the cross of Jesus. But there's one song that he did about 10 years ago, and it's a bit of a mockumentary type of song. It's called Ode to 90210. Now, you may not know what 90210 is, but it was a TV show, Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah.
It might, I don't know. I've never seen The OC. It might be a bit like The OC. Would that be a good equivalent, Jackson? Yeah, Jackson's got the thumbs up. It's a bit like The OC. Okay, we're going to play a little snippet of it. Is that going to work? And here's the words on the screen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the stage, Nathan Tasker.
There we go, we'll stop it there. Oh, wait. Wait. Okay, stop there. Now, that guy playing the harmonica, you might have heard him speak at Coast Youth Revolution about 2 years ago, Jody McNeil, and you hear Nathan goes, "Rock it, Jody," and he goes, pretty lame, that was 10 years ago. But did you pick up the lyrics there? I think you did. I'm beautiful. And I'm in love with me. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever sung a song like that one before. If you haven't sung it before, I'm sure you've thought it. I'm sure you've taken that second look in the mirror thinking, I'm actually not too bad looking today. I look all right. Like, chicks should dig this. I'm really, really good. Yeah. Now, this is the world that we live in. We're surrounded by this me, 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 me mentality on TV, on billboards, in magazines, from our teachers, our coaches, and maybe even church. Maybe even churches sometimes give us this me, me, me mentality. The question is, what could possibly stop you thinking like this? What would make you change your thinking? Well, if you've got your outlines there, you might like to keep them open to page 18 to follow along. The first thing you need to do to help change your thinking is recognize that you are not God. You are not God. We think we're God. Adam and Eve, in the beginning, they wanted to be like him. In Genesis 11, they build the Tower of Babel because they want to be like God. They want to reach up to the heavens. They were trying to make a name for themselves, and we all do it. All of us, just like Adam and Eve, just like the people in the time of the Tower of Babel, we all want to be God. And in the end, that's what sin is. Sin is when we say, God, I'll be God. How about you just stay off to the side there? Sin is when we say, get lost, God. I'm going to run my life my way without you in the picture. Now, a couple of days before Christmas this year, we went into the city to check out the city lights and the Christmas lights. And we went to hang out with some friends there, and it was getting quite late. It was getting close to the late news time. And you know, in Martin Place, or if you've seen Channel 7, how they've got the studios that back onto the main street there and in Martin Place in the city. We were watching them for a little while because they were recording the late night news. Like it's the 2 minute snippet, maybe 3 minute snippet. And it literally took them about 3 takes to get it. The lady, I don't watch television, but the lady, I can't tell you her name, which is probably a good thing. She was so vain. The first take, her shirt was slightly crooked. Like they're watching the video again, she's going, and she's got her beautician, he was a bit camp, dude, come out, her stylist, and he's sort of fixing her up, and they're spending ages modelling her face and putting all the makeup on. The second take, there was something on her face. She had to get that sort of buffed out. And the third one, she was happy with it, but probably only just. She had all these people fussing around her. She had this stylist. She was so vain. She thought she was God. The way she was behaving, the world revolved around her. She isn't God. And in case your mirror is telling you otherwise, either are you. Now, if experience doesn't show you this, the Bible makes it pretty clear. There's a verse printed out there from Psalm chapter 9, verse 20 that says, "Strike them with terror, O Lord. Let the nations know they are but men." Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2. Write it down. You can look it up later. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2. Ezekiel, he's talking to the king of Tyre, and he says, "In the pride of your heart, you say, 'I am a god. I sit on the throne of a god in the heart of the seas.' But you are a man and not a god, though you think you are as wise as a god." If your experience hasn't yet showed it, the Bible definitely shows it, that you're not God. Stop trying to kid yourself and stop trying to put yourself in the place of God. Remember our big question for the whole of these night talks? Who will be your God? Who will be your God? Let me pose it to you this way. Will it be you? Or will it be the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth? Tonight might be a good time to take a reality check. You're not God. You're not at the center of the universe. So stop behaving like you are. Now, what could possibly stop you thinking that life is all about you? Well, firstly, recognizing that you're not God. Secondly, second point on your outline there, is recognize who is at the center of the universe. I'll get you to open to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. This is a magnificent passage and it shows us who really is at the centre of the universe. Who really is on centre stage, the one who we all ought to be focused on. This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He, it's talking about Jesus, read the context, you work it out from just further up there. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Verse 21 to 23 talks about how we were alienated and how we've been brought back to God through what Jesus has done. But as you read through that magnificent passage in Colossians chapter 1 there, who is at the center of the universe? It's the one who may have supremacy. It's Jesus. So that in everything, he might have supremacy. Now, there's some churches and conferences, you may have heard of them, you may not have, where girls are told that they're beautiful princesses. They're told that God wants them to be beautiful, not just on the inside, but outside as well. They start sounding like some of those, was it L'Oreal? Because you're worth it. They start sounding like those, is it hair? Is that hair? Yeah, cool. And what? Makeup. Okay, cool. Next time. Excellent. They start sounding like those ads. You're a beautiful princess. You're worth it. God wants you to be beautiful. I've even seen a sign outside a church. This is disgusting, that said, believe in yourself. God does. Oh, that's awful. The Bible isn't about believing in yourself. The Bible's about believing in God. We can't be trusted. We can't be believed in. We're to believe in God. And there's even churches that really do have that me, me, me mentality. They really do have the God wants to make your life better. They do have the God wants you to be rich. God wants you to be wealthy and healthy. He wants you to be prosperous. Now, there's at least three things that are significantly wrong with this thinking in churches today. First of all, it reflects the me first mentality. Church is no longer about God. It might look like it, but it's really about me and what I get out of church. Secondly, the Bible doesn't teach things like that. That's not how the Bible puts those things. And thirdly, and the most important thing, is that the Lord Jesus is not at the center. He's no longer at the center when it's about me, me, me. We need to pray that our youth group and our church would never try to be at the center, would never try to put you at the center and try to attract you to come in along to our youth group by saying, you're great, you're tops, you're fantastic, you're a legend, you're so beautiful. But rather, we want to have a youth group where Jesus remains central, where he is at the center of what we do, because he is the one who's at the center of the universe. We need to pray that Jesus would remain in his rightful place in our church and in our youth group. Well, if we're not God, that's the first point there. And Jesus is in that. He is at the center of the universe. How then ought we to live? How then ought we to live? Well, we're to live no longer for ourselves. No longer for yourself. Now, 2 Corinthians, which was the passage that was read out for us, I think it's in your booklet there, verse number 15, says, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. If you're a Christian, the Bible makes it pretty clear how you're now to live. You're not to live the me, 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 me lifestyle. You know what you're to do? You're to turn from serving the idol of self, turn from serving the idol of me, 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 and serve the one who died and rose again. You're to serve the one who was crucified for us. You're to live not for yourself anymore, but to live for him. Now, in the 1980s and the 1990s, MC Hammer was the man, particularly when it came to Happy Pants. Not sure if you remember Happy Pants, but I had a pair of Happy Pants. Basically, they're sort of these puffed out sort of pants that have like the elastic at the bottom. I read that they're good for breakdancing. I never realised that at the time. I wish I had. But MC Hammer, I think there's a photo there. Look at him, isn't he a beautiful man? He was a hip-hop breakdancing, prancing dude. He was the king of the happy pants. And his songs, they were happy type of songs. Yet, as I look back and reflect on his songs, they were pretty selfish songs. The songs that MC Hammer used to, feed out across the airwaves. He had a song, You Can't Touch This. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. I think it was about him. Is that what he's saying? He's talking about himself. You can't touch this. Hands up. Hands up. You can't touch this. I think that's sort of what he's talking about in that song. Like the whole Hammer Time. It's all about him. He's center stage. It's all about Hammer. He's the man. He's the happy pants, happy prance dude. Now, randomly, I stumbled onto his blog the other day. Hand up if you know what a blog is. Okay, if you don't know what a blog is, get with the program. Get with the 2000s. It's a weblog. It's basically an online journal where MC Hammer himself writes stuff. Like, he writes reflections on his day. He talks about his kids. He talks about his family and what he's been up to with his records and all that stuff. But it seems in the last number of years, MC Hammer has become a Christian. Praise God. There seem to be genuine things on his blog that would suggest he understands what Jesus has done, that he's now living radically differently to what he would have in the early 90s and the late 80s. And here's a quote that I got off his blog. He's talking about God, how God, here's the quote, is a constant friend you have been. My birthday is truly happy because you've allowed me to know what happiness is. I am complete. I no longer live for me. I have purpose. MC Hammer, it seems, has understood 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's no longer to live for himself, Hammer Time. He's to live for Jesus. Jesus time. Sorry, that was lame. Break it down, yo. Now, just like MC Hammer appears to be doing, we need to be those who no longer live for ourselves, but for who? The one on the center stage of history. The one at the center stage of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen King. Now, in the 1500s, there was a man named Nicholas Copernicus. You might have heard of him, and he made some astounding claims. There's a photo of him there. I hope you don't mind me, I was going to check, Zach, if I could say this. I reckon if you were around 500 years ago, you look a bit like him. Yeah. No, still the hair. No. Now, for most of history, so this is about the 1500s. Hope you don't mind, Zach. Back in the 1500s, for most of history before that, people believed that the world was at the centre, that the Earth was at the centre of the universe. Okay? So, like, here's Earth. And like the sun and everything else sort of moved around the earth and it was at the center of the universe. Now, Copernicus, he came up with what is known as the Copernican heliocentric system. Not quite sure if I've said that correctly. I don't do science, but that's okay. Basically, here's what his theory was. His theory was that rather than the earth being at the center, it was actually more likely that the sun was at the centre. Now, people thought that he was a lunatic, but years later, he was proven to be closer to the mark than the people who thought the Earth was at the centre of the universe. Can I encourage you tonight to have a Copernican revolution?
Yeah.
Okay? Recognise that you are not at the centre of the universe, but that the Sun, not S-U-N, but S-O-N, the Lord Jesus, he is at the centre of the universe. Our lives ought to revolve around him, not him revolving around us. He is at the center of the universe. God is jealous for you. God desires your affection. God desires your attention. He wants you to turn from idols. The idol tonight is yourself. He wants you to turn away from serving yourself and to serve him. Let me read from 1 Thessalonians, that verse that we finished on last night. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Turn from the idol of self to worship the true and living God, the Lord Jesus. Now, back to where we started. When you get your school photo and you look at it, let me encourage you, rather than going, gee, my hair looks bad, my tooth has a thing on it, maybe look at the people nearby you who you know aren't Christian. And maybe pray for them. That might be a far better way to use your school photos each year. Pray through the people. Pray for them. And pray that they too would turn from the idol of self to serve the true and living God. How about I pray? Dear God, we ask that you'd help us to realise that our lives and this world and this universe, it doesn't revolve around us, but it revolves around your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he died, we thank you that he conquered death, and we thank you that he is the risen one. And we ask that you'd help us to be different from our world. We ask that you'd help us to live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised again. Amen.